Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well this fine Sunday morning. I'm happy to see everyone here, and I'm glad to have our friends joining online. Can anyone remember a specific time in their life when you encountered a time that you were shown kindness when least expecting it? Was there a time when you were in a drive-thru line and someone paid for your meal in front of you? Has someone ever given you a random compliment that made you happy the rest of the day? Sometimes the acts of unexpected kindness go further than you think. A couple weeks ago, I was having a bad day at school. The day had just started off bad, and it was one of those things that you weren't really in the mood for anything happy. When my teacher walked in, she noticed that I wasn't my normal self, and somehow she just knew that I wasn't really in the mood to do much talking. Weird, I know. So you know what she did? She started telling me some stories that she knew I would laugh and smile at. She said that I was the only one she would tell these stories to because they were personal yet funny, and she knew it would make me feel better. That teacher turned one of my worst days into a better day. She had no idea what I was going through or what I was upset about, but the fact that she took the time out of her day to show someone like me kindness is something that we should all strive to do. Oftentimes, we enjoy being the receiver of kindness, but we ignore opportunities to express kindness to others. And when we do, it's often to people that we already know, like, or care for. So today we are going to explore a passage in the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel, where David fulfills his promise to a friend and expresses kindness in an unlikely way. We will be reading 2 Samuel chapter 9, and as you turn to that passage, here's some background context to set the scene. Despite Samuel's many warnings to the Israelite people, the Israelites quickly learned that mankind doesn't make the best kings or rulers. While Saul had early success as king, ultimately it was his pride that led to the end of his rule. So when you're studying and reading through 1 and 2 Samuel, we learn a lot about David. In the books of Samuel, David is a young shepherd who gains his fame first as a musician, and then later by killing the giant Goliath, champion of the Philistines. He becomes a favorite of King Saul and a close friend to Saul's son, Jonathan. The specific story we're going to read about is one of my favorite stories about David. When we read this story, we're going to learn the difference between success and significance. And we will also see what it's like to show someone God's kindness. So let's get started. Verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Even though several years had passed since David became the king, David still missed his good friend Jonathan. And we remember that Jonathan had died in the battle with his father, Saul. David had never forgotten his covenant with Jonathan, which you can learn back in 1 Samuel chapter 20. But we're not going to do that today. So, though David had suffered greatly because of Saul's jealous wrath, David did not retaliate against Saul's family. He did not tolerate abusive treatment of any of the members of Saul's family. Still, he wished there was something more that he could do. So what I'm going to do next is read verses 2 through 8 all together because I don't want to break it up. Okay. So verse 2. Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. Verse 3. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." Verse 4. "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Verse 5. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Ammiel. Verse 6. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. Verse 7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you to all of the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Verse 8. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" So when a lot of people think of David, they think of success. If you pull out a dictionary, if people still use those these days, I don't know. A picture of David is under the word success. We kind of talked about that earlier when we were talking about him defeating Goliath, with him being a well-known favorite king, etc. The list goes on. So why do you think such a successful man like David wanted to show Mephibosheth God's kindness? Do you think it was pity? Do you think it was compassion? You can normally define a successful person by them only focusing on themselves, hoarding their possessions, being typically very wealthy, and you can normally tell they feel empty. Based on this definition of a successful man, I would not categorize David as that. I would categorize David as being a man of significance. A person of significance focuses on others. They share. They have satisfaction from things other than themselves, and they find fulfillment in God. Of course, I'm not saying that being a successful person is bad. We need successful people in this world. We need our CEOs. We need our entrepreneurs. But you know what we also need? We also need successful people who have a relationship of significance with God, like we see David have when he's speaking and praying with Mephibosheth. At this time in David's life, he realized there was more to life than being successful. What he was missing in his life at this time was that significance that God had gave him. He shows God's love to someone that didn't normally get shown God's love by others because he was lame in both feet. And back then, that just was really looked down upon. David didn't let his pride of successfulness get in the way of showing compassion and kindness to others, like we as humans do today. So many of us worry about making our lives that dictionary definition of success, that we lose out on perfect opportunities to show kindness to someone. I want you to picture this. You're in the mall shopping and it's Christmas Eve. You probably forgot your significant other's present. It's okay, it happens to the best of us, don't worry. But as you're strolling through the mall, you see someone just having a hard time. Their facial expressions and actions just show an emotion of worry. instead of walking right past them and going to find your gift, ask them what's wrong. Ask them if there's anything you can do to help them, like what David did when asking if there was anyone he could pray for. Now, I know some of you people here are more introverted than that, and that's okay. Maybe you're the kind of person who would rather do things more in your comfort zone, such as volunteering at shelters or soup kitchens. That's okay. You're still showing God's kindness to someone who may have not seen it unless you were the person to show it to them. We pride ourselves so much in the success of our own lives. We don't bother to take the time to show the significance of God's love to other people. Showing that kindness will fulfill you so much more than what your riches and earthly possessions can. So I want to look at a verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It says, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Jesus said it himself. Do to others what you have them do to you. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room wants to be shown God's kindness. I'm sure everyone here wants to be treated respectfully. So why not take a page out of David's nifty little handbook and do what he did? He asked plain and simple, "Is there anyone here I can pray for?" I want you guys to be the people this world so desperately needs. Be the people that pray for others. Be the people who put down their successes and their riches and pick up their significance in Christ. You are designed to show God's love. So let's get to it. Before I close, I want to call up the praise team, and then I want to finish with one last verse in Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, verse 36. "I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Let's be like David. Let's pursue more significance in God and less successfulness in an ungodly world.